Heavenly Father, again, we open this book. Lord, it's our only source of information. And I don't see how anyone can read the scriptures without understanding that when God did this, he did it to protect people's lives. There are sins, and then there are sins that God says abomination because they disrupt everything who God is. And what he knows will help his people if they believe on him. So I pray now that you'd help us as we look at these two main thoughts going through society. That is the blessing of God, and that is the society of humanism, or the Babylonian society, as we see it down through the scriptures, even to the book of Revelation. Please help us have enlightenment, and dear Lord, have faith to stand upon the word of God, be kind as possible, yet at the same time realize that in these last days, God's people are going to see a lot of suffering before it's over with, even in our country. And some have already seen that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last week, we got down to the place where we was talking about man starting the social system without God. The social system is known as the Babylonian system in the scriptures, as we see started in Babel, started in Genesis 10. And then we see the society had been formed in Genesis 11 that had to do with Nimrod. And that society, as we know it today, is just the same thing. The Babylonian society is the same thing as we think of humanism today. Humanism is man's attempt to solve his problems without God's help. He thinks that he can solve his own problems without God's help. And what's happened in our particular day, he adopts man's wisdom to try to solve his problems, and the masses of people are using man's wisdom rather than God's wisdom because they don't understand God's wisdom. So the Babylonian system, humanism, is what we call it today, and it's operating. We see it right now operating in our own midst, because it's denying the things that God has said is absolute truth and setting into what they say is truth. And you got God's system that's against a satanic system, which is humanism. And in turn, it looks like humanism is winning because the laws of the land backs humanism more so than God. And when the laws of the land backs humanism, that puts a control on people. And that's what we see. And that's the reason Christians in the past died for the cause of Christ, because they refused to be controlled by the laws of the land when God's law is higher than the laws of the land. And so God's original system we saw in Adam to Noah's day was that they needed God. And so God himself, in his system set up, God gave us the ability as his human, as his image, as man. God gave us the ability to do the things for his sake, not for our sake. When God gave us something, the best thing that helps us when we do what we do for God's sake and for God's glory, that will help us. But humanism does things for their sake. And that's what we see dividing line begin to show up more so now in chapter 11, as we see this society being organized through Nimrod and what he's saying here about this city. Again, God would make them their name great, but their name would be great. And we see that in Genesis chapter 12, once we get through Genesis 11. God would make their name great, but it would be for his system, not theirs. God does not make their name great for their system. God says, I will make their name great for his system. We see that in the first three verses of chapter 11. So as we go and look in chapter 11 right now and read a few of these verses, after the flood, man had a chance to start a new beginning. Everyone had been killed by the flood water except Noah and his family. They have a chance to start a new beginning. But notice something. God will not let them go back to paradise or to the garden. They're not going back there. When he run Adam and Eve out, that's off you know, it's off. What do you call it? Off, I'm thinking. It's limited, but it's off. I had the word in simple mind. What was it? Can you help me out there? Off base. What, sister? Off limits. That's a good one. Yeah. I think that's what I had before it slipped out of my mind, off limits. It's off limits. But God is not going to let them go back there. So they began to start, and by the time you get here from the flood to here, about 106 years have passed. And there's three things they do when you look in verse 1 down to verse 9. They show defiance against God, as you see in verse 1 through 4. they also show a declaration by God to them in verse 5 through 6. And then we see a dispersion from God because of their rebellion. And instead of this time destroy them like he did in Noah's day, he dispersed them for a reason. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Now, he could not, Noah could not in his family return back to the Garden of Eden. The human race now are descendants of three sons of Noah, we said already, the Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They settled in the plains called Shinar, also known as Summer in history. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 2, we see that, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Now, in settling in that, Nimrod, Ham's son, is the one who eventually becomes the supreme ruler. And there's about eight large cities now that's been formed under one language, and this is what is known now as the known world. In other words, Nimrod was literally the ruler of the known world in that day. And that's the reason you see this system, satanic system now, and the Babylonian system at the end of the age, though we have many more people at the end of the age and in the tribulation period, even though after the church is taken from the earth, there's still a lot of folks in the tribulation period. And that Babylonian system is the same system we see started back in Nimrod because it rebels against God, and God has to do things to bring it in line before Jesus Christ can come back and set up his kingdom here on this earth. And so he affected rule what was known the known world. In Genesis 11 verse 4, he built the city of Babel, and later he called it Babylon. It became a very self-centered place. It showed forth a kind of a learning center and leaving God out of everything that's done. If there's anything that's close to this now, we see in our nation, we have so much on education, but leaving God out of everything. Our law, our government, and our laws will push education, but leaves God completely out of it. And you know what? It don't take a lot of people to get God out of it. One person can raise a question or raise an opposition, and that one person can do more than 100 Christians can do. Because we're at the age now that things are winding down, and Satan is really trying everything. It's like a ball game at the end. He's working hard to get his points scored, and he's going to do that until the time that the Lord Jesus comes back. So different language now would create a basis for different nations. And so when I see this, it helps me a little bit. Let's look at read down to verse 3. It said, "And they said one to another, go to, and let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." Now, I want you to not let this leave you. "Let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone. Now, why did they say that? God makes the stone. But they said, "Let us make brick." If you're going to leave God out, take everything out. And they said, "Let us make brick now, and we're going to make it with mortar, not with slime here at this time. We're going to make it with mortar." And he said, "And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to let us build us a city." You see the making of this self-centeredness now? We're not going to do this for the glory of God. "Let us build us a city." Watch this. "Let us build us," I said the other week, "a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And watch, let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." Now, can you not see in that verse the rebellion against God? First of all, God told them, the first command, go back to Genesis 1, that he told Adam and Eve was to do what to this earth? Replenish it. Scatter it. Go back with me, read with me. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, the scripture says this. Let's see. I'll find it in a minute. Genesis 1, he said, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And notice, he said now that they were to replenish the earth. Now, you can't replenish the earth unless you're scattered in the earth. You got to be everywhere if you're going to replenish the earth. And here, you can't be in just a little location, geographical location, sir, word, and do what God says to do about replenishing the earth. But here, after the flood, 106 years later, there is a new system called the government system. Now, consciousness move over into that system. But God is starting something new and allowing it to be started. And he started with the nation of Israel, by the way. But here, these people are doing what is the imagination of their heart. By the way, isn't that what God said he destroyed the world for to start with in chapter 6? He said, and God saw the wickedness of man was so great, and that every imagination of thought of the heart was only evil continually. Man is fallen. When a generation produces a generation without any input from God at all, his word, his way he does things, they get worse and worse. That's really, Paul said to Timothy, man wax worse and worse and worse and worse. Why? Because he's found a way to move God aside, and even if somebody says they believe him, they don't believe that he don't really matter. It don't really matter. You got people right now who say they believe in God, but it don't really matter to them. If you really believe in God that he is, it will matter. Because he'll see to that, and he'll reward all those that diligently seek him. And so here they said, now we want to build this city, and we're going to build this, let us make us a city. And he said, at the same time, let us make a name for ourselves. In other words, it's going to be an elaborate thing. And it's going to be this city where Babel's at, where Babylon's at, which is confusion. We're going to put a tower there. That tower is going to be a high tower. Now, some people say it's a type of worship in God. It may have been. There's others said that one thought they thought that because they were where they were geographically located, they'd put the tower high enough that where people, no matter where they're at, would be able to know where this is at. They would know that their comrades, as far as people is concerned, with the same language, would be there centered. That would be the centering point from there, and that would keep them from moving all over the earth, because they'd have this safety zone, so to speak, because people are dying and things like that. But watch. When this happened, he said, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And he said, the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. Watch this now, ladies and gentlemen. And this they began to do, and now nothing shall restrain from them which they have what? Imagined to do. It's not just what they're doing, but what they are imagined to do. Same reason God destroyed the human race in Genesis 6, because their imagination was evil continually. 106 years later had passed, not the number of years that we had when in Genesis 6, not 1,650 years like from Adam to Genesis 6, but 106 years had passed from Genesis 6 now over to Genesis 11. And here the same thing. That quick fallen race became more so. I mean, out of Noah and his three sons that were saved from the destruction of the earth by water. It's like they were saved from the curse. And yet, by the time 106 years, they had, some people say that it could have been as high as, in that 106 years, as high as 3 million people. I don't know. I don't know how they know that. But they had a lot of folks, because in those days, they were replenishing the earth, but it was not according to what God had said for them to do. And so he said, now go to and let us. Now watch, God is speaking again. Let us. It looks like God had a council here. No doubt it had to be God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. He uses the pronoun us like he did over when he's talking about creating man. He said, the Lord came down, and the Lord said, behold, let the people's one, and let us now, verse 7, go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And so the Lord scattered them. Why? Because that's what he told them to do to start with. He scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore, the name of it is called Babel, because he said, the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them from abroad upon the face of the earth, like he told them to do to start with. So God says, I'm going to build, but it's going to be for my glory. You're not going to do it your way at this particular time. Now, it's interesting, because when I look at these these verses and try to put them together. One thing I want you to notice something, though, if you hadn't. Let me go back to this, because this really it puzzled me. And now, as I began to study, I understand something. If you go back in chapter 10 and watch in verse 10, it said, the beginning of this kingdom was Babel. And he gives some names. And out of that land went forth Asher and builded Nineveh and the city Rehoboth and Caleb. Then you look in verse 25 and he talks about unto Eber was born two sons, and the name of the one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Now, notice, here it looks like it's already been divided. It looks like it's already in nations. Even verse 32 said, these are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generation, in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Looks like they already are nations, don't it? And yet, it's just one language. Now, someone say, well, see, you can't get it right. Well, where were these nations formed? When God did it in 11 or when he did it in 10, chapter 10? I think it's a good question. You don't get it just looking at it. You have to study it. And I'm going to give you what I think. I really think what God does, because I see it done in other places. Go back with me to the book of Genesis again. I'll show you something. Maybe these things worry me when somebody comes up. Well, wait a minute now. Genesis 10 comes from Genesis 11. And Genesis 11 said the nations were divided by God with their language. And yet in Genesis 10, he says they already have nations in one language, but they had different nations. We know they had cities, but when you talk about nations, how could they have nations when God said he divided them in nations in chapter 11? Well, let me give you a little Bible study. Go back with me to Genesis. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1, 26, 27. I think we can see what God is doing here. In Genesis chapter 1, in 20, let me find it. Look in Genesis chapter, 20, here we go. Look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27. Let's go back and see when God created things. And God said, let us make man in our image, and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he, male and female created them. And God blessed them. Now, wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Did God create man here, or did he create man in chapter 2, verse 7? Well, I know he created man in chapter 2, verse 7. Why? He tells us how he did it. Okay? Now, how am I going to understand that? Because Genesis 1 comes before Genesis 2. And you know what God is doing? In Genesis chapter 1, God is saying, this is what I said about creating man, and I show you that that's exactly what I did. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. You know what it is? He's telling us this is what he did, but he didn't tell us how he did it. Chapter 2, verse 7 tells us how he did it. Chapter 2 brings strength to chapter 1 because God not only tells us that he did do it, but he told us how he did it. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. All right. Go with me now and see the same thinking parallel when you go to chapter 10 and see what God talks about nations in chapter 10. And then the same solution applies because he said that he created the nations out of this family. In chapter 11, it's the same family, but God has said in chapter 10, this is what I did. And in chapter 11, he's saying, this is how I did it. And there's no confusion there to me. It makes great sense to me now. Amen. I mean, I got to read chapter 11 to understand chapter 10. Got to read chapter 2 to really understand chapter 1 when he talks about creation, because I know God did do it, but he told me how he did it. And it's one thing he said he did it, not tell us how, but God let us know how. He told us how he made man, formed him to dust of the ground, blew into the breath of life, and became a living soul. He told us how, also in the second chapter, how he made a woman. He told us how he started the reproduction process, and he told Adam and Eve to replenish the earth through that process. So it makes good sense to me, and I'm glad that I have an answer for that. But you know, some people will not believe anything you say just because they don't want to believe the Bible. To me, that makes good common sense. I'm not smart, but that just makes me feel good because I believe it's true. It helps me understand Scripture where others cannot understand Scriptures. All right, now, here's the whole concept of this thing. The Lord had just delivered Noah and his descendants. And they had just, after the flood, and when you see this taking place, they saw the great destruction that had come upon the earth for rebellion against the authority of God's Word. They rebelled against God and His Word. What was His Word? They were to replenish the earth. Now, here's the thing. When they rebelled against God's Word, we see they began to increase and multiply. And as they multiplied, the rebellion set in. Now, the message that God gave to Adam and Eve was, first of all, well, not to eat a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They failed that test. Now, because they failed and rebelled against God, confusion set in. And then God had to set some order up, and that's what we see when we look in chapter 9, Genesis chapter 3, down about verse 16. You remember what God told? Eve after God went from Adam, and he said Eve, and he blamed the serpent and so forth? We go in verse 16, and he said unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, this is very interesting, because what's happened, the curse of the broken law brought confusion. And when you look at the confusion resulting to this, God said this confusion is resulted to this because now there's got to be harmony. And what's going to happen, Eve, because this started, Satan did this through you, you're going to find yourself having great sorrow in conception, bringing children into the world. And your husband, he's going to rule over you. Now, as when he talks about ruling over them, the word, notice he said, first of all, the desire. In sorrow, he said, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. The word desire is set forth in Hebrew dictionary. It means a burning, a yearning, desire to overflow, to run over the top. In other words, Eve, you're going to have the desire to overrun your husband. You're not going to like this because confusion is set in. You've broken the law that God has given about replenishing the earth. You've broken the law that God has given when it came to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and because of this, you're going to have your desire. Your desire to your husband is not going to be like it would have been in the garden, because you're going to want to run over. Sin won't let you let him be what he ought to be, and you can't have two heads of anything. And so God is setting forth this, and notice he said desire to overflow, to run to the top. Yet he said he will rule over you. You're not going to rule over him. He'll rule over you. Now, when he set that forth, see the automatic state of confusion that would result from such a relationship? The state of confusion is the course of the broken law. By the way, did you know, I was looking at the Animal Channel the other day, and, you know, it amazes me. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, I wrote a little note when I saw on that. Did you know that in most animals' lives, there's only one that ends up ruling? You look, you'll find a fight to death if had to unless one retreats and runs another way. Why? That's the only way God has got to bring the best pure out of an animal life that you could have. Because if a weak person has the herd or has the, whatever they flock in, if they have that, then you're going to have weak animals. So what happens, it sets up. You can only have one head, and you have one bull deer somehow or another. Or if he is a bull deer, anyhow, the male deer, you have one that have to fight a lot to rule. And by the way, you know something? No females try to rule. In fact, they'll wait till the fighting's over to submit to one who wins. And I said, Lord, isn't it an amazing thing? Sin has confused everything except the animals. Man is confused. And he's fighting back hard because it's self-right. Have my way. It's my way, no way, you know. And that's how we are in this thing of sin like that. Now, in Genesis 11, we find that after 106 years again in the flood, we see God again sends confusion as its curse upon the rebellion of those who refuse to obey. And it said, be fruitful and multiply. We saw that in Genesis 1:28. In Genesis 9:1, the Lord commands the people to replenish the earth. Now watch. When you look in chapter after the flood, in Genesis chapter 6, look in chapter 9 and verse 1. I was reading this and I said, man alive, isn't that amazing? God's seen starting over again. What does he do? He tells Noah and his family the same thing he told Adam and Eve. Look in chapter 1 of verse 9. I mean chapter 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He confirms the commandment he gave to Adam and Eve. He destroyed the first generations in the first 1,560 years, and now he starts with a new people, a family, and he gives them the same thing that he gave Adam and Eve. And that's in 106 years, they had completely abused that. And now God says, well, what I'm going to do is you start your system. I'm going to separate it now. You're going to have your system, yes. And it's going to run, yes. But I'm going to show Satan he can have his system, but I will do what I do and beat him in the end. And that's where we come to chapter 12. And he starts out this wonderful relationship we see with Adam, with Abraham at this time. He starts out at this, and now as you look at this, they're scattered on the face of the earth and replenish it. And now in chapter 11, verse 4, they said, let us go up and build a city, a tower, whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name that we may scatter abroad upon the face of the whole earth, or lest we be scattered. They said, we're going to do this because if we don't, we're going to be scattered everywhere. And that's the rebellion directly against the command of God. Right? He said, you replenish the whole earth, and you have to do that. Be there to do that. And so they planned to build a city and a tower high enough that no matter how far they would go from it, they would still be able to see the tower. And it'd be a religious thing, too, to try to plan their way to heaven like that. And they were going to make a way whereby they could stay together and never become scattered. That's direct rebellion against what God said for them to do. And so now he's got them scattered. And now they really become nations and become enemies to each other for a period of time. Why? Well, you know what would happen. They went with the people they could understand, right? They don't have harmony no more as a whole one language. One language is an amazing thing. And I've got to close, but I'm going to get into that next week. One language is an amazing thing to me because language is something that God gives for us to be able to communicate. First with him and with each other. It's a phenomenal. Not another thing on this earth that God makes has a language like us. They grunt, they growl, they make sounds, do everything else, but they can't communicate like you and I do. Why? We're in the image of God. And if there's any communicating to God by language, it is man who does it. And if there's any communicating to each other by language, it is man that does it. And we'll pick that up next week and see how God gave that to man alone. Why? Because it's God telling man what to do, and it's man telling each other what they're going to do. And Satan uses language, because angels can speak too. He uses language to tell the crowd that's making their own way in society, humanism, and Babylonian system. And now God's going to start his system now. These two are run parallel right on down to the end of time. And that's what he said. And let's just read this, and we'll leave it and then come back next week. In chapter 12, he said, the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and to a land that I will show thee. Then watch, I will make thee, watch this, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, notice, and I will curse them that curse thee. Those that go with the Nimrod Babylonian system, humanism, as they go in that direction, they're making their self-city, self-made people. But when you come down to what God is saying, he said, I'm going to bless you. And not only that, I'll bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you. But the blessing must be, there is a blessing that God's going to give to bring the Messiah, and nothing can change that. But the blessing for Israel is that they must obey God just like it was in Adam's day, just like it was in Noah's day. Because even when God says, I'll do this, if they rebel, he will also put them in a place they don't want to be. That's how he checks people and keeps things in line so that he can do what he's planned to do from the very beginning. Father, thanks again for the word. And we ask that you'd honor yourself as we teach it and help us grow in grace and knowledge. You said we could. We prayed we will. And Father, that'll stabilize in these last days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.